Hansel. Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, February 1, 2008. We're entering our fourth year with this show on BBS. It's probably the oldest running show now, next to the Don and Wynn show, which I think is now the Wynn show. And we want to congratulate Wesley Snipes, who obviously we hear he's a friend of BBS Radio, for his victory today, representing a lot of people out there that have tried to make sense of the constitutionality of the governmental system of paying income taxes. I wish they would just do a flat tax and that would end it all, and I think that'd be more than fair to this country. We've got a picture of him taken not too long ago with the projector on. He probably had it on through the whole deal there. We've talked about it. It was confidential, but he knows what quantum entanglement is. And the stakes are pretty high on a little bit of entanglement here, but he entangled the thing the right way and got the right result. And there's a lot of heavies like him out there that get this kind of results with these products. Also, I want to thank all the people that listen to the show as regulars that came to the SoundHealingCenter.com conference this weekend, the Sound Healing Center, and Cy had to play music there on Saturday night. I was opening act, and then we had a huge workshop on Monday. And a lot of BBS people were there. I was really surprised to see how many BBS radio listenees were there. And a lot of new people came, and there will be new listenees. I'm sure there's probably a bunch of you out there tonight that are new listenees joining the old listenees. Tonight, my guest was basically my sidekick. He has his own show now. His name is Steve Barish, and we have a lot of fun together, and we cover a lot of topics together, And I think it's time to say hi to Steve. How's it going back there, Steve? You been out swimming today or partying?
Oh,
what
yeah.
Are you doing?
We have a lot of ice out here.
Ice? What, like diamonds?
Oh, yeah. It's been raining all day and ice and slippery and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But I've been staying in. I've been reading about the hydrogen amplifier. It's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, we've been selling those like hotcakes. I just had one arrive off Friday when we released. Or no, actually, yesterday. What's today? Friday, yeah. Thursday one came for a client. Yeah, people get really upset if they don't get them fast. We're able to build them pretty fast, you know.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big item, though. You know?
Well, it's really interesting that it's connected to the ultraviolet. It's amazing because it's where the doorway to the astral plane and healing and astral projection and time travel begins. So it's really a fabulous tool, and people should really know more about that.
They're really good for clinics. Remember the spaceships are sound powered light separated. That's what Semyonov used to always tell me, the Pleiadian ships.
Yes.
They always talk about these gravity drives and this and that, and I know it's sound, power, light separated. There are gravity drives available, but they work more on sound. I covered a lot of this in my Rays of Truth book. You know, we're at our fourth printing on Rays of Truth.
That's
incredible. Today with my printer back in Auburn Hills, which is by my hometown of Ann Arbor, to print a whole bunch more Rays of Truth. Four times we've printed these puppies and run out now.
Yeah.
The book has taken off. I'm glad to see that people are reading it. You know,
and I think it's really important piece of equipment, Fred. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
It gives all this information about the ultraviolet light and the doorways, different things of that nature. And as a matter of fact, the portamid I use is absolutely tied into the astral.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot that's going on with the portamid that I'm using, and eventually I'm going to order this amplifier, but there's so much that you wanted to talk about, I think, so
well, yeah,
whatever.
I just wanted to let you know that Randy Masters, I'll have him on next week. He came, and he did a nice performance with his sound healing tools. Primarily, they're like special tuning forks. I don't have one. Yeah, I've got one right here. I've got one that he made for me. I've got a bunch of special ones.
Right.
Yeah, here it is. You hear it?
Yep.
Yeah, so I had a blocked ear. Remember we went through the ear thing?
Yes.
And what it was a compression of wax in one ear. Don't know how I got it because my ears are usually pretty shiny. You know, everybody spits on my ear. But somehow or other, that occurred a blockage. And one of the things I used besides some hydrogen peroxide and some stuff to dissolve the wax was one of these tuning forks.
Right.
And it vibrated right through the solution and got right to the core, and it worked. Worked very well. What happened to your head cold you had, by the way? Did you get rid of that?
It's all over, Fred. I think the Portamid really helped.
Yeah,
really helped it. It gets rid of a lot of toxins very quickly. It's quite a piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Very, very big.
Yeah, well, when you sleep in the Portamid, remember, it detoxes your body for 90 days.
You bet.
It also is that when you're sleeping in the Portamid, during the detoxification process, you will go through a lot of changes. A lot of times people wake up after a month or so at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking they have a whole bunch of new energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
What it is toxins coming out. Because usually what happens when people sleep in a Portamid, after they detox, they sleep a little bit longer until their body repairs itself, and then they get the short sleep, which is considerably less. I don't sleep much at all anymore.
Right.
And but it takes about 6 months to get up to speed where you really do feel it. A lot of people think they're feeling it, but most people are not. They're just getting a detox sample. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what's going on.
How was your show?
Going back? You got any healings in your area this last week?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot going on, Fred. I've been seeing a yellow-white light. It's actually in my projector room.
Right.
The wall disappears on the east side.
Right.
And this light comes right through. It's about, as much as I can see, is about 10 feet long. And most of it is on the outside, and the inside of it, it's really amazing. As I'm working on the clients, the light of that energy goes right into their chest.
Yeah.
And the whole body just equates it as joy. I've never seen anything like it before in my life.
Right.
And, you know, last week we were talking about me being in the stream with this now, so it's really wonderful. And, you know, wearing the projector and the nuclear receptor both at the same time and sleeping in the Portamid, I think have been a big help.
Wow.
So there's not a question about it. I mean, I had, last Saturday, I had a man, you know, there was a lot of people that called, but I had a guy who was sitting in a chair and actually just lifted off the chair.
Wow.
He was actually off his chair about 4 or 5 inches. And he says, "Steve, I'm lifting right off the chair." And so this new energy, and I have clients of mine that I'm massaging and passing this energy to.
Right.
And they're just in total bliss, just total joy. So I can't wait for the people to come in next week and we can start working on it. But it's so powerful, Fred. I've reached it through, for sure, from the projectors. There's no question about it.
Yeah, well,
and
that's
entanglement
principle. So, and you're working with the lepton frequencies inside your atomic structure, you know, in your DNA, within your DNA, within the atoms of your body. When you really get down into the subatomic structure, we start looking at small spirals. And these have what's call a very small Planck length, and the Planck length is 10 to the minus, basically 36 centimeters, which would be awfully darn small, way smaller than an atom, and that's what you start reaching into, basically just a step out of where the Big Bang was when the universe started.
Right.
You know, maybe after Big Bang, maybe a billionth of a second, that amount of atomic energy filling the void of space, which wouldn't be much, because it was such a short length. And that's what you're describing. And when you get down there, that's a lot of energy. Because you're going back. It's like, you know, when your computer doesn't work right, so you set it back to a previous time.
Right.
And then it starts to work.
Yes.
Same thing.
Wow.
And, that's what you're describing. And so you picked up on the levitation part of
it. Yes.
And if you look at the Corrales effect and some of these effects that these scientists have played around with, we started doing levitation. We started levitating people at our seminars back in the 70s when we first developed the irradiators.
Right.
And then in the early 80s, TM of America, when Tom Headley was the president of it, and Rat Mahesh Yogi was here, up at Montecito, lived near President Reagan at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think then he was governor of California. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was even president. I forget what year he came in. But anyway, we had a... He had a dance studio, and we put a System 3 and a Firestarter in there, and they started hopping in there, you know, the TM people. It was a brand new organization then. I mean, you know, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi had been around a while, but it really hadn't grown into anything. And in the 70s is when it took off. They started building their university down at Fairfield, Iowa. And so the hopping effect started in our systems, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. It's called the Siddhi. Mm-hmm. Well, then we had the harmonic convergence in 1981, and we did a meditation with a German Reiki master up at the hotel where we did last May the Sound Healing Conference. It was called the Jack Tar Hotel then. We were in the Japanese Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's called the Cathedral Hill Hotel, and the Japanese Pavilion is closed, but the Japanese Pavilion was about the size of a gymnasium. It was very large. Mm-hmm. And so we had that whole space, you know, huge area, several hundred feet by several hundred feet. So he put a master crystal out in the middle of a circle, in about a 60-foot circle, in a radiator, not just seven, but about as many as you could get in that circle, quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had everybody lay down around the master crystal. Inside, the radiators were further out in the ring of them. So he's in between the ring of the radiators and the master crystal. Everybody laid down in a big circle and held hands. So everybody's laying down, holding hands all the way around until they joined hands, about 60, 80 people in all ages, from probably the youngest is maybe 17 or 16, maybe even 14. The oldest could be in the 90s.
Mm.
So he had them do this. He's a very powerful Reiki master. So then he had everybody hold hands, and he did a very powerful Kundalini meditation with the system at the time, which was the irradiator system, kind of a earlier day for the projector kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely a quantum entanglement exercise. So they had everybody get up and run in a counterclockwise on the outside the circle, which is about 60 feet across in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
So that would mean that three would be about 180 feet around. And so everybody, you know how you're jogging, and you start jogging, and you go up in the air, and you come down if you're jogging pretty fast, and you cover, you know, maybe 3 or 4 feet, right?
Yeah.
Versus walking, you probably, the average step on a walking person is probably 3 feet.
Right.
In jogging, maybe 4 feet. So, mm-hmm. Depending if you're a good jogger or not, maybe 4.5 feet if you're really good. Most people aren't that good.
Mm.
Well, what happened was, after about 5 minutes of this, some of the people started going up into the air and coming down, and they were doing 60-foot leaps.
Mm-hmm.
So as they went up in the air, instead of jogging and going just, you know, 3 or 4 feet, they went 50 or 60 feet.
Right, right.
They were coming down, you know, the circle wasn't that big. It was huge, but, I mean, they'd come down way outside the circle, and then they'd jog back in again.
Yeah, yeah.
That started happening. Pretty soon the whole group, even old people, you know, in their 70s and their 80s and 90s, were making 60-foot leaps. The Tibetans call it 60-foot leaps.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so people still talk about that. So then what happened was we had a lady in Hawaii. She was on Ward Street. Her name was Rama Devi, D-E-V-I. She's still there in Honolulu.
Mm-hmm.
She taught yoga classes, and one of her big clientele was all of the yoga, Vogue, you know, Vogue magazine.
Mm-hmm.
All the models in there. Every damn one of them would go over there to Hawaii for, you know, she was on the in crowd with them. Today she probably has Victoria's Secret models. But anyway, so she bought a Systems 3, and she had a very large room. She was upstairs, but there was like a chalet with a big high-rise A-frame ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was probably 30, 40 feet in the center, but even out on the edges it was 20 feet high where we set the irradiators.
Mm-hmm.
So we put a set of Systems 3 in there for her, and then we left. You know, I mean, I didn't leave Hawaii, but then we went to our hotel room. We were staying over there. The next morning, about 7 o'clock, I get a call. And Mrs. Davey was probably, oh, I'd say she was 65, but in incredible shape, way better than most 20-year-olds, you know. And her husband, of course, was older, but he wasn't in quite as good a shape. So I get a call from her husband, and he says he needs me over there right away. And I says, why? He says, we had a problem here last night. I says, okay. And so I come over there to the center and walk up the stairs. And she's at the top of the stairs and she's in crutches. This very athletic woman that could probably outrun me any day. is in crutches. She's got a broken upper arm, broken arm from, let's see, from her, above her elbow. Was it above her elbow? No, right about at her elbow, down to her wrist. That was one, because she could move her arm a little bit, and up to do crutches. And then her leg was broken from about the top of her knee down to her ankle. Those were the main injuries, and she had some scrapes. So I walked into the studio, and I didn't know what the hell. I thought she got in a car wreck or something that night. You know what I mean? And so I walked into her studio, and I noticed that one of the radiators was missing, and it was crushed. You know, like, you know how tall those things are.
About, right.
Like if somebody, a 160-pound woman, fell on those, what would it look like from 30 feet? Well, that's what it looked like. So what she said was, all her life, you know, she taught yoga, and she did some healing on me the day before. She was powerful. You know, she'd work on your feet. You know, normally most healers, when you start doing footwork and acupressure on the feet, you go slow and you don't push too hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she'd push on your first treatment, she'd push you through the roof. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like she was shooting you with a gun. She was intense. She wanted to get it all done in one shot rather than the, you know, a series of them.
Right.
So anyway, so anyhow, she told me that all her life, she wanted to fly. Well, who doesn't? You know, I do it in my dreams a lot. I'm sure you do too.
Right.
So what happened was she got in the circle in the center of it, like I showed her. She set the thing up like I showed her. I actually set physically the, you know, the first radiator has to be laying in magnetic north, and then the next one is 52 degrees to the right, which would be, you know, time zone one, and then 52 degrees time zone two. So you end up with seven radiators placed 52 degrees apart, forming a perfect circle.
Mm-hmm.
And the line of magnetic north. Well, she levitated, I guess, clear up to the ceiling at 2 o'clock in the morning, she says, or 1:30, I think she said it was.
Mm-hmm.
She got up to the ceiling, still in the circle of center, no problem. You know, she was thrilled. You know, probably sitting in the, I would imagine she was sitting in the lotus position. Most people do when they do that stuff. And so then she said, for some reason, she leaned over a little bit, and if she just stayed centered, she probably would have stayed there in the middle, you know what I mean? But she leaned over a little bit and noticed that she could get a little side action going, so she could, like, cruise. You know what I'm saying? So she starts leaning the other way and going the other way, and leaning backwards and going backwards and leaning forwards and going forwards, and suddenly she realized she had flight control at 30 feet. Yeah, true story. I'm surprised she doesn't call in one of these days. So then what happened was, I guess she went back a little bit and then off to the right, and she came out, she was high, and she came out over the radiators.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Not inside the circle anymore at 30 feet. She was now 30 feet high, but over one of them.
Yeah.
And evidently, she said that something popped, you know, and she just fell straight down.
Oh, boy.
And she just happened to be right on top of one of them, and she said, because she was leaning to the right when she was, you know, moving that way, when, you know, that obviously that's the way she landed. She landed on her arm.
Yeah.
You know, your forearm, you brace yourself when you're falling. And she obviously was coming out of the lotus position. Obviously, I would have been getting ready to, like, hit a pretty serious 30 feet, three stories.
Yeah.
You know? And she broke her leg. I guess she hit the megorb with her leg and her arm, forearm with the top of the radiator, and it just peeled down. And so that broke her fall. She could have been hurt. She could have been killed, you know?
Yeah.
But she's there, and I said, well, what do you say to a client that just had their life dream and almost killed themselves with your equipment? Am I going to be a liability suit going on here or something? And she said, don't worry, Fred. You know, this was my dream. It's worth all the pain I'm going to get from these simple injuries. I flew. She says, I know it can be done because I did it. I mean, she went on. And so I just replaced the radiator. And I don't know. I'm sure she still flies around in it. Who knows? But I guarantee you, she don't go out to the side no more. You know.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. So then, the next one we did a levitation at Dr. Donsbach. We had a big conference in the Long Beach Convention Center, and that was about 83, a couple years later. Okay. Because I was married to Kim at the time, my wife Kim. That's how I can remember all this stuff, and I had my daughter Alana. So Alana at this time had just been born, so that would be like 26 years ago, 27 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're down at this huge National Health Federation convention in January, that what we used to do. And we levitate. We took four people now And we set up a power circle with one or two irradiators, and we just had them barely touch these people, one guy in a chair, and we levitated him up, clear up to as high as you could reach with your fingers just touching that person. Like if you stick your first finger past your thumb and touch that person, you know, like on their leg where they're sitting on a chair, they just floated up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we floated that person and successfully landed him. But what's really interesting is that there was a lot of religious, you know, like born-agains or whatever at that particular conference, because a lot of them were part of the National Health Federation.
Right.
And they immediately started screaming out in the audience, the devil, it's Satan, it's satanic. You know, so that was real interesting, you know. Everybody's calling this the trick of the devil. We're floating this guy. I mean, we're not just floating him low. As high as you could reach up and point your fingers where this guy went. He was got a big smile on his face.
Right.
So we were just showing, you know, early forms of quantum entanglement. We didn't really have a word for it in those days, but now we do. And
I think the amazing part of it is that these projectors are so powerful.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize how powerful they really are because of this new energy that's coming in.
Now, I think Wesley Snipes realized it today.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So 16 years down to possible 3, and he could probably buy his way out of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's some power.
Yep, that's pretty good power.
Yeah, he was standing up for something he believed in. He told me, well, I sat here and went through the computer with him one day looking for attorneys when he was out here.
Yeah.
We were discussing attorneys because I thought that the one he had wasn't that good, you know, Billy Martin at the time. He did end up with a new guy in Wisconsin, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're powerful.
Very, very powerful.
What do you like about them the most?
Well, the interesting part about it, when I was married to Donna, I went to the Social Security Administration building. She wanted to get a card. And I was standing with her, and people were leaving, and they were very angry. And we had walked up to the window, and she said, I'm terribly sorry, but the computers are down. And so I just said under my breath, computer, please turn on. And the thing came on instantly. And she jumped back.
Who
and that was under my breath.
Now,
and then Donna looked at me because she could feel some energy happening.
Right.
And so she's typing it up.
Right.
And she says, I'm terribly sorry, but our printer's down. So I just said under my breath, I said, printer, please turn on. Came on instantaneously. We got her card. How long it stayed on, I don't know. But Donna walked. Actually, she turned to me and said, what are you doing? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so we left, and she got her card, and we left. But the projectors are so powerful, Fred. I've actually had my room disappear with a client in the room.
Oh, I believe it.
It's really powerful. I remember reading in the Bible, the hills skip like rams, and I can understand how the prophets were looking at the mountains, and they were actually moving. And the same thing was happening in my room. Not that I'm a prophet, but what happened is that the energies, the ultraviolet energies, were just kicking on and turning on, and things just happened in that room, and my client and I, if somebody had walked in there, Fred, we would have been disappeared.
No, that's what I was talking about. It's one of the topics that I was covering this weekend at this seminar. I had a three-hour seminar on Monday.
Right.
And we talked about the levitation, and once you get past that, you know, I've levitated. I levitated when I was about 15. I won't go into my incident. I didn't have an irradiator. And I was able to do it through pure power of cities. But and I've been levitated. I have had people levitate me like that guy in my own system a few times, and it's really a cool feeling. But
right.
You get past that. Yeah, it would be nice to fly around like Superman, but eventually it wouldn't be practical anymore. I've dreamed about flying up too high and getting up where it's really cold and felt the cold, you know, dreaming about this stuff. So I've explored possibilities, but the next phase of it now is what you're talking about, because these phases, as the DNA, remember the DNA, when we wear the receptor, respiral. You get a complete set of DNA respiraling. So now, instead of having 6 strands where you should have had, you know, 46 at 50 years old, you might actually have 34 base pairs per turn instead of 6. So now what happens when you put the projector on, it allows you to go into, you know, a field of energy that allows, it's really not the DNA unwinding. What you're really doing is you're going into the cause of it to wind up in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So we call that despiraling the DNA into the fourth dimension of time.
Right,
that's the place of time.
Right.
When you reach the place of time, there's a lot of doorways, levitation, healing, you know, acquisition of material things, remote healing, all of these kinds of things.
Right. I just find it so interesting. I remember when I bought my first nuclear receptor, I think you call them super receptors now, and they were absolutely amazing for that. I imagine people that bought those over the weekend must have been just...
Oh, well, here's what we did over the weekend a couple of times. And this really blew people away.
Right.
I make people hold their arm out, and I push down on their arm. They stick it straight out in front of them parallel with the ground, you know. So it's shoulder length. The fist is out there, shoulder length. Your arm is stretched as hard as you can get it. I push down on it until they can't, you know. I say, don't let me push you down. And they push down, and I feel how strong they are before I can overcome them. And usually they're pretty strong.
Right.
So then I give them a tube of glue with the left hand. And let them breathe the glue, and they test very weak right away. You know, they don't have any strength at all.
Right.
So then I put the receptor on them and put the glue back on. Let them hold it, put their arm back out again, and let them hold a tube of glue, and then I push down. And now they're not only strong breathing the glue, but I had this little lady that was very small, about 5'3".
Mm-hmm.
I could push her down with all my weight, and you couldn't push her arm down.
That's amazing,
I weigh 220-some pounds, and I couldn't push her arm down, and she's breathing glue, and it's effortless for her.
It's amazing for her,
yeah. So then what I did, now I said I'm going to do the quantum entanglement. I had I didn't know who these people were. None of them ever seen me before.
Right.
I had a guy come up from the audience. I let her hold on to the glue, and I took the receptor off of her. She couldn't have it anymore. Then I went over to the guy, and I says, I want you to stand next to this lady, and I want you to look at her for 2 minutes. And really see her. And I want you to close your eyes and visualize her and look at her. He did. So then I put him across the room where he couldn't see the lady anymore and she couldn't see him. Okay? Then what I did is I put a projector on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and I said, don't do anything, I told him. I tested her. She's weak. She's holding the glue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then I said, raise your arm. Let me know. Let the audience know when you're visualizing her, but I don't want her to know that you're visualizing her.
Right.
So he made an indication that he was visualizing her, and every time he visualized her, I'd push down on the arm while she's breathing the glue, and she has no receptor on it, and she tests just as strong as if she had the receptor on. And
amazing.
I did that twice, two different times, with two different sets of people.
Right.
I mean, that's the power of this thing.
Yeah.
It's done in laboratories. Stuff's been played with in laboratories now. The government is incredibly interested in it. But they don't have, this is great for intelligence and great for remote viewing, and it's great for sending messages and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know how to do it yet. We're already doing it.
Yeah.
We have the equipment. They don't have it.
You know?
You can't do it with your mind. You need the equipment.
Well, I know they're extremely powerful. I've been using this new energy that I've received, and I've given it to a lot of my clients already.
Yeah,
and we were talking that my mitochondria is actually twice the size as a natural mitochondria, and I think that has something to do with the energy flow. All I know is that it's extremely powerful. And I use my super.
But why the mitochondria gets bigger?
No.
Okay. Here's what happens.
Okay.
When your body reproduces cells, it's supposed to do that at the rate of 90 million per second. Most people, because they're breathing positive ions, don't do that in chemicals and stuff like glue, only diluted. You know, obviously people would die if they did straight glue.
Right.
But anyway, what happens is, as soon as you bring a poison onto them, the body can't reproduce at 90 million cells per second. So you start to collapse, and your mitochondria shrinks because the body is oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon, and the carbon atom is distorted. It starts to bend in. You know, if you were looking at an octahedron and the middle of each long side, you know, the top and the side and the bottom where they join, it bends in, which throws the geometry off. The physical geometry is upheaved. So then what happens is when you put the receptor on, it straightens the geometry up. The geometry now allows the life force to come through, and the mitochondrion goes back to a larger size. You follow me?
Gotcha.
So what happens is now you got the cell reproducing process going on, and so in order to reproduce the cell, you have to have 46 chromosomes to do that. And of course, the spacing of the chromosomes, if it's correct, it will make, you know, in a liver cell, you'll get liver. New liver, you'll get the thyroid, you'll get a new thyroid cell. If it's skin, you'll get a new melatonin cell, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But if you're in the sun and you can't handle solar radiation, and the spacing is going to be off, instead of getting new skin, you're going to get a malignant skin lesion. Or if your liver is not proper, the liver is going to, you're going to get a liver lesion. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or cancer or whatever. So what happens is we have to look at the spacing. The other thing is that the chromosomes aren't there all the time. Mitosis, which is cell division, doesn't occur on a continuous basis. It's pulsating, because remember, if you look in the mirror, what's happening is you're looking, it appears, because it's a hologram,
mm-hmm.
it appears mm-hmm. that you're there in front of the mirror. But realistically, what's really happening is you're only there in front of the mirror, and then you're not in front of the mirror. And then you're there in front of the mirror, and then you're not in front, you know. So it's like you're pulsing in and out of existence. You follow me?
Right.
Between
the
influence. And so what happens is that's the system, that resonant influx and outflux, that it resonates. And that's where the string theory and blah, blah, blah happens, mm-hmm. because in between these pulses of being there and not being there, all these atomic physics is all put together, right? You follow me?
Yeah.
So now what happens is, well, where does the energy come from to bring you back out? Suddenly you're non-existent, and then suddenly you're here. You follow
right.
me? Okay,
right.
First of all, the energy that does cause that comes from a black hole. Somewhere out in the universe is your star, and your star is collapsing mm-hmm. into a black hole. It's pulling gravity around it. It's mm-hmm. Your star is burning out. It's cooling down, and it's so powerful that you're sucking in anything that light rays come by, you suck it in like a vacuum cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then that energy goes down into the section area. The suction area is called the event horizon. That's sucked down into what we call a space-time singularity, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's transmitted out into this nothingness, okay? Now, this universe, that your star might be 100 billion light years from here, yet suddenly when it goes into nothingness, it vibrates, and in that space of the hologram where you don't see yourself, you see yourself in the mirror, but you're really not there, then
right.
it connects that
right.
energy. All that energy coming into that black hole is connected into your DNA cells. You follow me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you getting that?
Yep,
okay.
I am.
And it goes into what's called the antibullaria of the cell. There's a part of a cell called antibullaria, and it goes into that part of the cell, and then it pulses out. Well, as soon as it comes into the antibullaria of the cell, it immediately blossoms out, and come the brain, it gets as big as it can, and it explodes as big as it can, and as big as it can get is a chromosome. So then the
mm-hmm.
chromosome is there, your body reproduces the cells. Okay, now you're here, you're reproducing yourself. Now it withdraws, boom, and out it goes, and then it goes back to that star, and then it comes back again, and it's a continuous process. And the way it gets across space in such a great distance is if you took a piece of paper and you laid it down, you know, and you, on the left-hand side, you drew a dot, and the right-hand side, you drew a dot, and you drew, say, a 6 or 8-inch line between the dots. That's the distance to the star. But if you bend the paper in half, and the left and the right side touch each other, you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
It's called an Einstein-Rosen bridge. And that's what happens. It creates an Einstein-Rosen bridge with your star instantaneously when you're looking in the mirror.
Yes.
And when you get in touch with that, when you start resonating with that, you start to get big. The Andromedans, for example, are big on that energy, so you start to get bigger. You physically get bigger. Your cells get bigger. And if you don't watch yourself, you'll probably get taller. You'll actually get bigger. That's the phenomenon of that. That's why the Andromedans are so tall. You've seen how tall they are.
Yes.
Yeah. And it works on a human principle. I wrote about some of this in my Rays of Truth book. But when you start seeing the universe that way, then the unified field theory becomes exactly what you see. It's unified, you know?
Yeah.
And gravity, you know, now gravity simply becomes the bond of the Einstein-Rosen bridge to the star, and the specific way you distribute the energy determines your specific gravity. You can gravitate towards one person quickly and gravitate away or be repulsed by someone else.
Yeah. when the people were putting on the nuclear receptors and trying them on when they were going to buy them, did they enjoy them, Fred? They must have loved them.
Oh, we sold a bunch, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they put those puppies on, and yeah. They're taking them off.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I had one skeptic lady that was there that was her boyfriend is being chased around by grays, and they're having horrible experiences, and she's scared to death. And I explained to her that the grays won't bother her. She's afraid that the grays are going to go after her next. I said, you put this receptor on, it's going to change your frequency, your aura frequency, and it's going to push them away.
Absolutely.
So she bought one, and I'll get updated. But I've done women are typically, men typically, because they do things that ground them out sometimes. Sometimes mm-hmm. It's hereditary, and sometimes they're just chosen by the grays. They
right.
get around women, and women freak out because they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Men might
yeah.
not know either, but they don't care. You know yeah. what I mean? They're a little bit bullish about it. So
yeah.
she didn't want to upset her boyfriend by wearing one of these things, so he didn't believe in any of this stuff. And he acted, when she described it, he sounded like he had an implant, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Notice yeah, I'm not naming any names.
I
mean, this is the way the weekend went, and this went on for 3 days.
That's fantastic, Fred.
Yeah, anybody out there wants to call in, they can call in and talk about this stuff. If you've had any experiences, we don't mind, you know.
Yeah, that'd be fun to do.
Yeah.
But the projectors that you can wear, it becomes more powerful with time.
Oh, yeah, well, you know why?
Yeah.
Because your quantum entanglement entangles with consciously with more and more and more parts of the universe and people and things and stuff.
Yes.
And it when it starts to entangle at an infinite rate, then you start to glow like a star. That's
yeah.
where stars get their energy. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
It's really amazing.
Yeah. Because remember, in a star, like the sun, ours, G4 star, everything here on the Earth came from the center of it, including us.
Yeah. Yeah.
All we got to do is bond with it some more, and then it won't burn us, and it won't fry us, it won't, you know, blow our
right.
atmosphere off. It'll just work with it.
Right.
And that's
right.
what you're doing. And that's the tool that does it is the projector.
You know what was interesting? At the last show we did, I think you had some of those little keychains. That was an interesting keychain.
Which
I think
one?
With the nuclear
the
type
detectors?
Of... yeah, it was really interesting.
I have a nuclear keychain that we sell for detecting radiation.
Right.
Oh, the nuclear. We sell. We have those. We sell those all the time.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing little tool.
And we also have a thing called a flamethrower, too, that we haven't got it on our website yet. We took pictures of it when Marcos, my web guy, was up from South America.
Right.
And so anyway, it's really a lot of fun. You know. By the way, I just noticed something on the fast chat here. The fast chat... is somebody said they weren't sure if it's working. I'll have Don test it. It's working, but people are going into the archives now. Don put the archives up from
right,
2005
right.
and 6, and so those will be accessible. They're not accessible yet anywhere else but on my website. And some of these things that we're talking about tonight are covered in those very early shows.
Right.
You haven't been around long enough to have some old archive. You're just you're in your second year now, right?
Yeah,
right?
I'm in my second year.
Yeah.
They do have archives for me, so it's interesting.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
You go on there and listen to yourself?
Yes. Yes. It's funny when you really listen to yourself.
Well, it's critiquing, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I always thought I sounded like an old hick when I listened to myself. But I don't mind. I'm used to it now, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, the quartz crystal I have, the master quartz crystal.
Yeah.
I have clients that come in, Fred, and they're on the table, they're getting a massage, and they actually can feel the heat from the crystal going through them.
Oh, yeah.
It's an amazing. I the stuff I've gotten from you is absolutely amazing. So
yeah, you,
I'm really enjoying it.
You every step of the way, too.
Yep.
You didn't go into this voluntarily. You went in with a gun pointed to your head.
Yes. I know. You told me, you said to me, get this crystal, get this crystal. I said, Fred, give me a minute.
Yeah,
and
it was
I got
all
the
about
crystal.
The money.
Yeah, and it
yeah.
just, I think the crystal now is worth twice as much as it was when I bought it. But the important part is.
Hey, you know what? Since you bought that little old master crystal, prices, it's like gold. I think the price has gone up probably, I don't know, another 20, 30%.
Yeah.
The reason I know is I went down, I'm getting some ones to sell from my friends Hello? Old minds out of their personal collections.
Hi, Dr. Bell.
There's none
Hello,
of that mind
Fred,
anymore.
Fred, we got somebody on the air.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Dr. Bell. Can you hear me?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Jim from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, first-time caller.
Oh, how are you doing, Jim?
Good, good. I've been enjoying your show the last few months.
Good.
Amazing information. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What advice, Dr. Bell, would you, or recommendations you would give to someone interested in your receptors? How do you know what stones or what crystals give off a good energy for someone?
Steve's a remote viewer. What does he need? I just asked Steve. You lucked out. Normally you have to talk to one of my girls, but Steve, what does he need?
He needs a blue sapphire.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Blue sapphire. Yeah.
And do these, they sound like they do a lot for your energy field. Do they help flip someone's, notice I said help, only help flip someone's financial maybe problems or bring in new energy that could... make
you
them
saw
do better.
What the projector did for Wesley Snipes today. He had himself dug in pretty good.
Well, if you can take on the IRS and the Federal Reserve, I guess you're in the Rothschilds, I guess you could take on anybody.
Yeah, yeah. And
yep.
I'll tell you a little story about him real quick. The night, you know, he when he flew down, he has a obviously he's more money than we do, but he bought a platinum receptor from me for about 10 years ago, a solid platinum. He only paid like 18 grand for it. Because that's when platinum was 500 an ounce, okay? He works out in martial arts. He worked out with Chuck Norris. He's done commercials with him. He's really good. I've seen him. He's like a 6th or 7th degree black belt. He's awesome. He does his own stunts and blades. He went down there to Namibia to do that film, and it was while he was down there that he was indicted. Well, when he got down there, he looked in his suitcase, which had gone through Heathrow because he went down commercial, and somebody had stolen his projector. Okay, then he's down there, and so he had his receptor. So he had a projector, which he's been wearing recently, but he also has to have the receptor for things like you're talking about. So then what he did, he got indicted, and then I heard about it, and then he called me up and said, I'm indicted and blah, 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 and I found out I don't have my receptor. I need it. And I knew, he was, when you got to watch your money when something like that goes down, right? So then I asked him, I said, Wes, I said, the same thing that you bought last time for 18 is now twice as much. Because look what platinum's done. I said, you sure you want another one of those? Or you just want to wait? Nope. Send it down and make it now. So when he flew up to turn himself in that private plane about a year ago in Florida, whenever it was, He got it then, another one to wear, because he wouldn't, with this kind of energy like he has, he wouldn't be without it. He uses both of them. And so, and the same thing with Ken Norton, the boxer. Now Ken Norton, he broke Muhammad Ali's jaw, and Ken Norton, he's got a silver receptor, not platinum. He likes the silver one. That's what he likes. He's got a big diamond in it. Ken Norton won't take it off. He takes it off to get it cleaned, and then that's it. And he's done really well with it. He just went and got himself a brand new house and a whole bunch of stuff. So I see people when their auric fields are getting better and healthier, what happens is, and then they want to focus on the green energy, which is obviously money. We call it green energy, female energy. Money comes, and it allows you, it clears the way so you can see what you need to do to make it come so that you can raise your financial status. And then if you behave properly with it, it seems like it really gets crazy after a while in a good way, But that's one thing that I've learned. Also, with the projectors, that helps too. But it sounds like to me you would want to start off with a receptor and wear it for a while and get your DNA switched around into a consistency before you start playing around with this more occult, what I call more occult side of it, or what Einstein called spooky action at a distance,
So I would buy a blue sapphire
Sapphire are really good for your heart.
Yeah.
Be really, really good for your heart. I think that'll open you up to a lot more energy.
And then I wear that around my neck, or I need a projector? I'm not quite sure what
Well, the projector, you won't be able to wear for at least between 3 and 6 months before you can get one.
Okay.
But the nuclear receptor, what that'll do is actually clear your heart. It'll clear a lot of the toxins out of your system. It's just an amazing tool, and the frequencies, the ultraviolet frequencies are just amazing when you put that on. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing is that we pick up quite a bit of radiation. from the water that we drink and from the atmosphere. And so we carry a high level of radiation on our bodies, which creates, in a lot of people, kind of a paranoid feeling. And so the receptor will take that radiation off your body, but it will become, in the process, radioactive. So what you need to do is rinse it off every day at the end of the day when you've been wearing it all day. Rinse it off under the faucet for about 30, 40 seconds. If you don't, what happens is you're going to feel, most people, and I'm not saying most people, feel a very heaviness in their chest. It's like trouble breathing, because that radiation is now focused right around their heart and their immune system, and it doesn't work too well. So you want to make sure you clean it every day with a little bit of water. That's all you got to do.
Okay, so I should just call you on Monday to get prices and so on?
Yeah, the number out here is 800-729-2603, and talk to Mikkel.
Okay.
Actually, I'll give you her private number out at the company. It's right, this 949-404. I'm sorry, that's wrong. I got too many numbers. 949-295-8227. Yeah. It's 949-295-8227. That's their direct line.
Okay.
And she'll help you out with it. Yeah.
And do you ever
What part of Florida do you live in, anyway?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale. Do you ever come out here for seminars?
I'm coming down there to Fort Lauderdale in May. And
okay.
It'll be posted up on the BBS Radio website, but we'll be down there in May doing the New Life Expo.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll be right close. We'll be kind of in Miami, but on the part of Miami towards Fort Lauderdale. Just a quick drive from where you're at. How'd you hear about us, anyway?
I don't know how I stumbled on BBS Radio. It's just been a great last few months here in all the programs.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy people here. Steve's got a show on here too.
Oh, I know. Yeah, he's on with the girl there. I've pretty much heard everything. It's just helped me so much to get my energy back and so positive. I don't even watch TV anymore.
I don't blame you.
That's great.
What do you do down there in Fort Lauderdale?
Well, I'm in between jobs right now. I'm going up to New York in the middle of this month to take a seminar with Larry Pesavento. He's just one of these famous currency traders.
Cool.
That follows pattern recognition in the Fibonacci numbers. He's just got such a blend of the astrology and the technical part of it, and he just makes it sound so simple. So I'm just trying to learn to do some trading off him and just trying to, you know, work on all aspects of my life to bring it all in a better direction. So,
yeah. What were you doing before in your last job?
They were all dead-end jobs kind of thing, restaurants and stuff. So I'm just welcoming to, you know, make big changes in my life for the better, you know.
Like my friend George Winston, you know, he's a good friend of mine. We did a lot of music together. He's on one of my albums. He's a very famous musician. In 1982, he was a cab driver. In 1984, he was a millionaire from playing the piano. I always told him, I said, George, I said, you know what? You were a honky-tonk piano player back, and I could see you sitting in a bar in the late 18th century, shooting it out in the street, and you just banging away on that piano, and some girls up on the stage dancing. And that was old George Winston. He does, you know, beautiful music, but he just decided one day he wanted to play the piano, and hell with the damn cab driving, you know?
Right.
He became very good at it.
For some people, that's all it takes, one day to another. The possibilities are endless. You know,
I started Pyridyne not knowing what to do. I'd been a rocket scientist. I didn't have my medical PhD yet. I studied with Tibetans. And then one day this lady called me. I didn't know what to do. I retired and sold my electronics company, and I had enough money to last quite a while. And I spent every damn dime of it because I renounced material wealth at one point. And then when I got done studying with Tibetan masters, I had to go back to work because otherwise I was going to be in the street, you know. So going to be from a millionaire to being broke was interesting. It took me a long time to get there the first time around. And so
yes, and Fred, that,
at 5
that,
o'clock in the morning, Kathy Goggin from Pyramid Power 5 wanted some psychic advice, and so I gave her common sense, and next thing I know, I'm working for a company called Pyramid Power 5 making science kits and selling them to department stores. You know, here I'm a guy with a master's degree in physics and chemistry, and I'm out selling department stores like Macy's pyramids. Suddenly I started, and some doctor asked me to design something for his clinic, and I designed one you wear on your head, and he put it on somebody's head, and bang, Paradigm took off. And I was dead broke when I started this company. I started with $100, like my last $100, and that's where I was at, and it doesn't matter, you know. It's been very successful now for 32 years.
Yeah, good for you. I enjoyed your definition on gold, how it gets trapped inside the earth. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, it does. It comes out of the sun. And watch the gold prices. I think they're going to come down, and then that's the time to get gold. We can work with it with our projectors. We use gold in every product we make. We make solid gold receptors and make silver ones. We'll take a silver one and we'll gold plate it. You know, we use a lot of gold. It works
well
because it's 18 carat and up is an octahedron. It has healing power.
Yes. I've been buying a lot of silver lately at a local coin shop. I think that's going to about $25, $30 by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. I think silver is going to, I think gold will come down, and I think silver will go up.
That's amazing. That'd be great.
Yeah. The reason gold will come down is because it's driven up there by greed right now and insecurity. And
yes.
That whole thing is going to collapse on them.
Yeah.
Then we can go out and buy some gold when it's affordable, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think a nuclear receptor would be really great for you.
Yeah,
I think
awesome,
you'll find that it's an amazing tool. Just an amazing tool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll look into that. Well, I'm going to try to make it to your seminar in May, Fred, and I'm going to look into that and mark that down, and I'll give your girl a call on Monday. So thank you all so much, Dr. Bell and Steve. Thank you. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was great.
Good night.
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 Have a good weekend. I forgot to ask you who's going to win the Super Bowl. But anyway, Marjorie asked, what device can we clean the silver receptors? They yellow in the dish section. Yeah, they do. We use silver polish, and there's some of those dipping silver polishes. Or you can send it out, we can do it. And sometimes you just go down to the local jewelry shop, and
yeah,
they'll use
right.
a little sonic cleaner, and they may charge you a small amount to clean it. There's a lot of ways to do it, but silver polish will do it. And I found in the store, you can buy them that you just dip it in. It's like a solution, and you put it in there for 5 minutes, pull it out, rinse it off, and it's shiny again.
Yeah.
So the store.
Yeah. I like the sonic cleaner. It really,
yeah.
really gets
Did
it
you
great.
Buy one of those or are you using one?
No, I could take it to a jeweler friend of mine, Glenn, over around the corner from us, and he's been really nice to polish all the nuclear receptors that I've sold. And
oh,
so
yeah.
So people just go there and clean it. They're very, very nice people.
Yeah, you can buy, if you go on the internet, you can buy a sonic cleaner like the jewelers have for under $100.
Yeah.
And then just
yeah.
get a little, they use Freon, you get a little Freon, a little quart of Freon, you can get that.
Uh-huh.
And that's, and it's unless you're breathing it, it's fine, you know. And that doesn't cost much. But for under $100, you can have a cleaner to clean it for the rest of your life, you know, if you want to go that route.
Yep.
Now, guess what? We're getting out of time. Go yep. ahead and give out your information on your...
Yeah, my show's going to be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It's the Steve Barish Healing Hour. And if anybody needs some help, I do all kinds of stuff with the nuclear receptors for Fred and the projectors. I can place them on the walls and actually look in your room and face them where they need to be. So... Fred's allowed me to do that.
Yeah, you're really good at that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got more clients for you that need to. They'll be calling you up soon.
Great. But anyhow, my area code is 585-746-8321. That's in Rochester, New York. So thank you very much for having me on, Fred. That's very kind of you.
Yeah, we had a little fun tonight, like we always do. It's a quick hour with you on here, and... Randy Masters will be on next week. Hopefully, he's promised me to come on. He's the one that does the hydrogen sound generator, and he was at the show. So that ought to be pretty good. And so you've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Tonight's guest has been Steve the Man, Barish. If you want to meet both of us, we'll be in New York City on the last weekend of March, freezing our tails off, you know. So we have a lot of fun. And so I think I'm going to hook up my spaceship. My toll-free number is 800-729-2603 for the company. And you can email me at fredbell@pyradyne.com. And because I have a spam filter on now, you'll just have to answer one little question, and then you won't have to do that anymore. And that's just to clear the filter. I got thousands of junk mails, and I had to stop it. Anyhow, we'll see you next week. We'll have a canned show tomorrow night on some cool topic like we always do. And so I feel I'd better fire up my spaceship and get out of here. I'm getting ready to go. Whoa!